Community Connection next, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by Tallgrass Motors. We'll talk with a candidate for the district judge job in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Talking this morning with candidate for the district judge job, Linda Thomas. And before we talk with the candidate, a couple of things that I'm going to mention so the candidate doesn't have to. First of all, you will be voting during the June primary. Judges are a nonpartisan job. While every voter in the state of Oklahoma, or nearly every voter in the state of Oklahoma, declares a party, and that is a subject of public record. But as far as this job is concerned, it is a nonpartisan election. I will not be asking the candidate what party she is a member of, because for this particular situation it doesn't really matter. And we may be talking about a news story that happened earlier this year regarding a state Supreme Court action concerning district Judge Curtis DeLapp. That out of the way. Good morning, Linda Thomas. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
It's a good day. I look out the window and I see mostly sunshine. Personal opinion, I like it about 10 degrees cooler than it is as far as this part of May, but I'm not in charge of the weather. I just read the forecast. Other than that, we are roughly a month, a little bit more than that, still away from an election day, but I'm sure you, as every other candidate, is counting down the days between now and that primary. Good morning.
I am on a daily basis.
As I try to talk with every candidate, regardless of what office we're talking about, one of my first questions is just why? Why put your name out there for a particularly long job interview? Normally we go to a job interview, we talk to the appropriate person or persons, and half an hour, maybe an hour, and we're out. Either it's decided. This one stretches over days and weeks. Why run for judgeship?
Well, Charlie, I didn't grow up always wanting to be a judge.
I'm sure you'd look great in a black robe, but that's beside the point.
But this job is not about me. This job is about the citizens of our district. And our district is all of Nowata County and all of Washington County. And so my feeling on this is every citizen in this district needs to be treated with respect and dignity. That's one major issue. Mm-hmm. The other major issue that's of great concern to me is that everybody that walks in that courtroom and stands before a judge is entitled to their due process rights. That's something that we're guaranteed. And when those due process rights are not honored and when they're skipped over or short-circuited, it's a concern for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that now is the time that we need change at the courthouse, and I believe I'm a good one to do that. I've spent the last a little over 15 years, focusing my service on the State Bar Association, and I've served on numerous committees in numerous positions. I've been on their Board of Governors. I was their vice president back in 2009. But more importantly, I have just finished my year as the Oklahoma Bar Association president. And with that, my service to the state bar is winding down. And I believe it's time now for me to focus on our community, to give back to our community with service in this manner.
And I know some examples that I am aware of. I'm sure there are a lot more. You have been active in the annual Ask a Lawyer Day event locally and probably on the statewide basis for all I know.
Yes.
And that's something that we have talked about. Your name has been out there just as one of the people that have participated in that. As part of the Bar Association, then you probably work to help promote that and events like that. Am I right?
I believe that I have always focused on public service and what's good for our community, particularly when it comes to the legal field. I've volunteered for many different organizations that need legal services. For example, Legal Aid. I'm a volunteer attorney for Legal Aid. I'm a volunteer attorney for Oklahoma Lawyers for American Heroes, and we provide free legal services to qualified active and retired military or veterans. Other groups that I do a lot of pro bono work, and when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that I've always focused on public service. And to me, a judge is an elected position and is simply a public servant. We're there to serve the public and to make sure that every person that walks in that courthouse is treated with dignity and respect and is afforded due process, and that their legal rights are honored, and the entire process falls apart if those two basic things don't come from behind the bench.
And I think that's something, as an observer of the court system, that the public needs to be aware of, that it is a process, that there is set up for, maybe not your word, my word, an adversarial system. There is an advocate for the state. There is an advocate for the defendant or the other party, depending on how things are, whether it's a criminal case or a civil case.
Right. And more importantly, is the judge is a neutral person who hears both sides. And oftentimes the judge has to make a final decision. Oftentimes the jury makes that final decision. But a judge has to go in from the very beginning completely neutral, without an opinion one way or the other, until the facts are put before him or her.
And I think just trying to put myself in those shoes, it would be difficult as a human being to work to not smile or react unnecessarily when one point or the other makes a good point of law.
Sure, and I think that is something that lawyers train themselves to do, is not to react to something that's said by a witness or even their own client or the other party. And judges certainly have to honor that as well and not give away any maybe personal feeling that they might have with respect to what may be going on in the courtroom. And I also believe that every person that walks in that courtroom, and I don't care if you're a juror or a litigant or an attorney or just a bystander, come in there with a probably significant level of stress, mm-hmm. and may not always be on their best behavior, or it may not be their best day depending on what they're there for. And so the respect and the tone of how that case may run depends upon the judge, and the judge first.
Sure, I think that the judge sets the tone for that case, not trying to necessarily compare what goes on in Washington County's courts to anything in TV and movies or anywhere else, because that's theater. This is reality. there are still human beings involved.
Yes.
As district judge, that's the top responsibility in that particular judicial district. There are other associate district judges there as part of the judicial team, but that's the top job.
Well, and let me just kind of explain, because not everybody understands the way the hierarchy works there. Both the associate district judge and the district judge, and in this particular district, we have one district judge, one associate judge that works here in Washington County, and that's Judge Russell Vaclaw, and then we have one associate judge in Nowata County, Judge Carl Gibson. And those judges are all elected positions, and so none is really superior to the other. The associate judge does not work for the district judge, but the district judge is the chief administrator. He or she has kind of what I describe as the paperwork part, the behind-the-desk part of administrating the court. But as far as sitting in a black robe behind the bench or dealing with lawyers and litigants, one does not answer to the other.
We do have a good system around the area, and we will continue talking with candidate for district judge Linda Thompson when we continue in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our conversation with Linda Thomas, and I misspoke. I apologize.
No problem.
They're both two words that start with T.
Yes.
Again, you are a candidate for the district judgeship, and as you mentioned, that would be the district that covers Washington and Osage County.
No, what a count.
Duh. My bad. That's wrong. Never mind. That judgeship is also up for election, but that's beside the point. Judges are mentioned in the news all the time. That's both just as a passing, sitting in Judge XYZ's courtroom, et cetera, and that sort. So you are, or whoever has that role, is somewhat of a public figure. What that judge says can be part of the public record, not only as far as what's in court records, but part of news stories. Your name is mentioned frequently.
True. And what a judge says and does matters. And the way they say things and do things matters as well. So, yeah, judges are under public scrutiny because they are public servants, public officials, and they're elected. So the public needs to know what's going on at the courthouse.
And like many other public officials, you are somewhat under a microscope, under the magnifying glass of the public eye. Both people talk about what went on, and that's just normal conversation, but also those of us in the news media will report what goes on, whether it's positive or negative.
True.
And there was a recent Supreme Court case. We have reported it. It's public record. I'm not asking you for your opinion on how that ruling came down, but that there was a recent ruling in our district.
There was. And the facts are the facts, regardless of what they are. But most recently, the Supreme Court case that I think everybody or most everybody may have heard on the radio or read in the newspaper had to do with a young lady that was sentenced to the Washington County Jail. There were a couple attorneys who volunteered to represent her. They filed a petition with the Supreme Court, and that petition was filed on a Tuesday. The Supreme Court referee heard it on a Friday. Judge DeLapp had an opportunity to respond. He was present. Those lawyers were present for the young lady that was in prison, or excuse me, in the Washington County Jail, not in prison. And from that took place on a Friday. And then on Monday, the Supreme Court released its ruling, basically saying that she was being illegally detained in the Washington County Jail. That the order that that was sent down from the judge that detained her was a void order, which meant from the get-go it was not a legal order. And that she was to be released from jail immediately. The significant thing about that was not only how quickly that happened, because we all know that a Supreme Court does not always work that quickly, but also that it was an 8-0 ruling, which meant that 8 of the 9 justices, 1 was absent, but 8 of the 9 justices all concurred in their opinion. And quite frankly, it has nothing to do with the makeup of the court. Some people may think that the makeup of the court may not be exactly what they think it should be. It just has to do whether or not that young woman's due process rights were followed. And they decided that it was very clear that they were not followed, and she was immediately released from jail. And quite frankly, Charlie, this is not, this is pretty much the tip of the iceberg. There has not been other cases that we've seen recently in our newspaper about our sitting judge right now. But as the investigation goes on and people begin to dig into the public record, not anything that's confidential, but into the public record, it appears that this is something that's somewhat common.
Well, that's yet to be, I'm sure, ongoing as to whether anything else is part of a court record, but those other public records are just that.
Yes.
Some of the other things that as district judge that you may or probably would be involved in are other things like our youth court and that sort of thing, right?
Yes. Youth court is a fabulous program. Things like drug court, youth court. There's always some talk about a mental health court, some other things that are not maybe your typical courts that are beneficial to people who come before the court with specific problems. And there are different alternatives rather than just your ordinary, there's different sentencing alternatives that may be more beneficial to our community rather than just incarceration.
Right.
And youth court's a fabulous program for kids that are under 18, mm-hmm. that just may need some redirection, and it's a court of their own peers that are making some decisions.
I have been told by those involved that often the youth court can be, I'll say, tougher on the first-time offender than maybe the typical judicial system might have been, but that's anecdotal. I don't know that for a fact.
I've heard that very same thing, and I can believe that might be true. But there's other programs that are community programs, but also are connected to our courts, say like the Run the Streets program. It's a fabulous program, and our current judge is involved in that, and I think it's a fabulous program, and the recidivism rate for many kids that go through that is a lot lower than those that are going through your typical process, the punishment that we would normally think of as normal or typical in a juvenile delinquent case. I had the opportunity to be a mentor for Run the Streets program, and I was also an original member of their advisory board. Then my father got sick, and that was taking up some time, so I was not able to continue that, but it's an absolute fabulous program.
And I know that the drug court has a similar reputation. That's a tough procedure. The more I find out about that one, that's not necessarily an easy system to graduate from either.
It is not easy, and you're held accountable, and your feet are held to the fire for months on end, but the end result is the hope that people do not continue to use drugs and continue to get themselves in a life situation that is not beneficial to them. So incarceration is oftentimes the answer, not just with drug court cases, but all cases. That is oftentimes the answer, but not always. And so those are alternative programs that benefit not only the defendant or the offender, but also the community, I believe, are the better way to go.
Well, we're talking with candidate for District Judge Linda Thompson. It's a nonpartisan election. I want to emphasize that.
Yes.
Again, as a voter, I'm sure you have declared a candidacy. It's a matter of public record. But there will be no label Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. There will simply be a list of names on the ballot on the June primary. And since there are more than two candidates, it is possible, like any other election, there could be a runoff on that one, which, unlike most runoffs, I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, the runoff on this election, if necessary, would be at the November election. Is that correct? Do you know?
Yes. On the ballot, you will see me, Linda Thomas. You will see Curtis DeLapp, who is the incumbent, and you will also see Alan Jensis, who's a local attorney here in Bartlesville. If one of those three candidates get more than 50% of the vote on June the 26th, and of course I'm hoping that's me, but if that's the case, then that person is declared the winner and they'll take office in January. If that does not occur, then you've got the two candidates that have the most votes will go on to November 6th.
I think it's important that people understand that particular process.
Yes.
And while I really should have addressed that to the election board, you're here.
Well, it's very important that those people who have, that our citizens get out and vote on the 26th. This is going to be a really important primary in a lot of ways, but I think that getting out and voting at the primary is particularly important for the judge candidates, and then there's many other candidates that you're going to have your choice on the 26th. It's important to get out and vote.
Absolutely. Linda, I'm sure I do see your signs around. People apparently, your message is resonating with people, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about how people can back your campaign signs, and I believe you've got social media and website presence out there that we probably ought to publicize as well.
Well, I have a fabulous committee that's helping me, guiding me, and giving me opportunities to get out before the public. I'm going to mention my campaign committee, and I hope I don't leave anybody out, but I didn't write it down. Jan Dreiling, who is our former district court judge and was here for 23 years on the bench, is either associate judge or district judge, is on my committee. Marie Cubbage is on my committee. She's a retired bailiff for the Washington County courts. Her husband, Dennis Cubbage. Charlie Shipman is on my committee as a media consultant and just does a fabulous job for me. Rod Ramsey, Richard Mitchell, Bo Estes are local attorneys here that are on my committee as well that are helping me. My legal assistant, Joy Butcher, is on my committee not only to help me but also as treasurer. Lisa Carey and John Carey are on my committee as well. And I think I got everybody. I hope I didn't leave anyone out. So if I did, I left out one of the most important people. I'm sorry, because he's very instrumental in a demographics of people that I also want to speak to. They're younger than me, so sometimes that may be a little bit more difficult, but he's keeping me on the straight and narrow, and that's Lauren Rozelle, and he's an IT guy at ConocoPhillips, a great guy.
Well, again, we're talking with the candidate for the district judge job, Linda Thomas, and your name will be on the ballot on the June 26th primary, and best of luck. Thank you
well,
very
thank
much.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say one thing, because I say this almost everywhere I go, and I've said it for years. I truly believe that being a lawyer is an incredible privilege, but with that privilege comes a great responsibility not only to my clients but to all the citizens, to the public, to best serve the legal needs of everyone. But even a bigger responsibility is a judge is a lawyer, of course, and they're subject to the rules and regulations of the Bar Association, but they're also subject to the rules and regulations of the Code of Judicial Conduct. So that even brings a greater responsibility to the community. And I just believe I have the skills and the knowledge and the desire to do this job and do it well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's a Community Connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. And again, Election Day coming up on June 26th for voters who are registered in Washington and Nowata counties. And one of the choices on that ballot, Linda Thomas.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect.